Well, it's 4 o'clock on the clock on my wall here. So, if everyone is comfortable and we'll get ready to get going here, and because we have a couple of reports to bring up. So, I'm going to call the June 15th Budget and Finance Commission meeting to order, and it is now 4 o'clock. And Ms. Cote, if you'd be kind enough to do a roll call for attendance.
All right, Commissioner Beasley?
Here.
Commissioner Mason?
Here.
Commissioner Newell? Vice Chair Salverson?
Here.
Chair Latchford?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, everyone. And let the minutes reflect that we do have a quorum. And at this time, we're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance, and I will lead the group in the pledge, so if you'll follow along with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hope everybody liked that. I've been practicing a little bit. Okay. Well, welcome everyone. And so, of course, we're meeting by remote due to the ongoing presence of requirement for social distancing, which I know is going to end shortly. And this could be our last Zoom meeting. So we'll see. We'll talk about that as we get to the end of the agenda here. Let me just do a little housekeeping. I'm looking at those in attendance and see that, for the most part, those that are here tonight have participated in meetings of the council and or the commission and are familiar with the mechanics of participating by Zoom or by telephone. However, just to ensure that everyone has a chance to participate in any open session of this evening's meeting, here are some simple steps that I'd just like to read into the minutes, if you don't mind. So bear with me. I know you've heard these before. For all of you who are participating by Zoom, please just follow these simple steps to participate when recognized. First, you will need to select the participants icon located in the bottom center of your screen. This will open a dialog box that lists all participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name. Select your name. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up where you can have the option to, quote, raise your hand, unquote. Please raise your hand if you wish to speak. Once I have recognized you, I will ask staff to enable your microphone. For those of you participating via phone, it's much easier. All you do is you press *9 to raise your hand. Press *6 to mute your microphone. Once your hand is raised, I will ask Ms. Cote to unmute your microphone. And very important, please make sure you are not also muted on your personal device that you're calling in or registering with. So that's some simple instructions now been read into the minutes. And I'm now going to move the agenda to call to audience. And if anyone wishes to address the commission on a matter that is not on the agenda, please notify us by clicking the raise your hand icon that I just explained to you on your computer or pressing *9 on the phone. If anyone
Chair Lashford, you kind of broke up there. We didn't catch what you said.
You didn't catch what I said?
The last tail end of it.
Oh, okay. So if anyone has a desire to speak to the commission on an item that is not on the agenda, please notify by clicking raise your hand icon on your computer or pressing *9 on your phone now. In the meantime, Allison, have we had anyone submit blue cards to you through the phone?
No, Chair Latchford, there's one.
Okay. this time, I'm not seeing anyone wishing to speak to the commission. Give a couple more seconds to make sure we're not missing. Those of you who may or may not know, we have 11 participants on the line. And from what I can tell, all of them are veterans of Zoom. So, all right. So at this point, not having received any requests to address the commission, I will close call to the audience. All right, next, we're going to move to a staff liaison report. I will ask Mr. Gebhardt for his report.
Thank you, Chair Latchford, Vice Chair, members of the commission. Kind of a lot to report on this evening. So I'll try to get started here. First off, our budget should be adopted and finalized tomorrow night at the council meeting. The council chose to approve the tentative budget at the June 2nd meeting. There were no changes that were proposed by the council to what staff had proposed, and so we don't anticipate that that the adopted budget will change from the tentative budget really at all. The changes that the council could possibly make would only entail a reduction of the total budget. They could not choose to increase the total budget tomorrow evening. So they could choose to leave it the same as presented, which is as they approved in the tentative with no changes. That's certainly how we're presenting it. Or they could choose to make some adjustments, and those adjustments would have to reduce the size and scope of the budget. But we don't anticipate that will happen. Secondly, we have staff, myself, town manager. We pulled in our community and economic development director. We went through an update of our bond rating with respect to our pension obligation bonds. We needed to get an update from Standard & Poor's. And we did that, did a presentation for Standard & Poor's. I believe that was a couple weeks ago. And gratefully, Standard & Poor's chose to leave our solid bond rating the same. We are a AA+ and with a stable outlook. So we were grateful for that. That is a very, very strong rating. Our financial advisor believes that we are, he believes, the strongest credit in Pima County. I would like to take credit for that, but that really, the credit all goes back to my predecessor, the town manager, certainly the staff in our finance department that have, and even our directors and leaders and the town managers that have been very respectful of and conservative with their spending. Building up reserves, all of that has really served the town well, and so we are grateful for such a strong rating that Standard & Poor's issued us. We believe that we are really close to actually a AAA rating, but a AA+ is nothing to sneeze at, certainly. So next, that kind of leads into an update on our pension obligation bond issuance. So that's been keeping me and my staff busy as well this week. We actually priced today, and thankfully the markets were kind of in our favor. They were really pretty stable. We saw a little bit of a reduction over the last couple days in the 10-year Treasury, and due to the stability of the markets, due to our strong bond rating, we were able to achieve an all-in total cost of issuance for the bonds for the entire 16-year repayment period of 2.39%, which we believe is outstanding. So, a lot of work, a lot of effort on the part of my staff and our town manager, et cetera, to try to pull that together. But if you'll recall, what our estimates were for debt repayment, et cetera, was 2.75%. And we were thinking it could even run closer to 3%, depending on what the markets did. So 2.39% is really, really, really good. So we're pleased with that result. Next, again, this kind of leads into our pension funding policy, which you all approved. That will be presented tomorrow night to town council for their approval, our pension funding policy for next fiscal year. So I just wanted to mention that. Again, don't anticipate, I put it on consent, don't really anticipate any changes there. We'll see if the council chooses to approve it in a recommended form or make adjustments to it. Our financial policies, so that leads me into our financial policies. If you'll recall, those were approved by you and recommended for town council adoption. And I've been kind of, because of this, the PSPRS issue and whatever kind of pulled my attention away, I am planning on presenting that at the July 7th council meeting. So just a point there for you to be aware of. The only adjustment I'll make to those overall financial policies will be to update the pension funding policy. So that was another piece that, that pension funding policy needs to be updated on an annual basis according to Arizona revised statutes. And so I kind of, rather than bring those policies twice for approval to the town council, I thought I'd just wait for the pension funding policy to get approved and then bring it to them once. So that's what's going on there. We have also been holding interviews for a new senior accountant. That's a new position for our finance department. We only have one on staff. That has been included in the budget, and we believe we've found a very strong candidate. She will start, hopefully, if all goes well, start the second week of July. So really looking forward to getting her on board. I think she's going to really provide a lot of assistance to our finance team, especially it relates to year-end activities, but even ongoing. We have had a definite need and been understaffed at that level for quite a while. She is actually has been a stay-at-home mom for a while, but she's a CPA, has audit experience at the manager level at a CPA firm in local government, and also has senior accountant experience in the private sector. So. Looking forward to, again, getting her on board. When you have audit experience, I tell my team and staff, it's like riding a bike. I mean, it's like she's going to pick things up very quickly. She has maintained her CPA license, even though she has not been working. She's kind of been out of the workforce for a couple of years. But she's going to be a very strong asset to our team. ARPA, I wanted to touch on our ARPA grant funds. So as you'll recall, we loaded in about $11 million in ARPA money, with half of that being included in this current fiscal year and half being included in next fiscal year, in our budget for next fiscal year. We have been notified that our ARPA distribution is actually going to be about $15.38 million. The state has opened up their grant portal for us to apply for those funds, and we anticipate that first tranche of ARPA monies will be in the town's accounts by the end of this fiscal year. So that was kind of a concern of ours. I mean, not a strong concern, but we were thinking, if the state kind of didn't get this thing up and rolling fast enough, that we might not receive that first payment until the beginning of next fiscal year, and we actually believe that we will thankfully get it this current fiscal year. Good news there. We increased it from about $11 million to about $15.38 million. And then lastly, as we have kind of been discussing, and this is certainly up to you as the commission, but I think from my standpoint, I would due to year end, new auditors, et cetera, our auditors will be out earlier this year. I believe the third or fourth week of September, that we're going to be really busy over the next couple months with year-end processes and procedures and trying to close out this current fiscal year. Due to all of that, due to really not a whole lot of matters that necessarily would concern you as a commission, it would be my recommendation to take a couple months off during the summer and come back for September, at which point in time we should have our year-end estimate as we normally do. And actually, it may even be closer to a final, it may not even be an estimate. It may be closer to a final year-end financial report for you at that meeting. So with that, that concludes my report. Again, a lot of items, but there's been a lot of a lot of stuff going on. So thank you.
David, thanks very much. I think the most of just about everything you reported is very good news. So there's no bad news over there. I'm so happy to hear about that. And let's do this. Why don't we take up the issue of meeting the next 2 months at the very end of our agenda. We'll just tag it on there as part of our next meeting discussion. And then I'll ask for everyone's opinion. Yes, Kevin, go ahead.
I just really like to express my thanks to Dave and his staff and the town for getting this bond thing done, getting the rate that you have, getting the rating that you have. I've never seen a staff report quite so long. So you've been busy, and your staff should be congratulating you. That's really good.
Thank you, Jim. And,
just one question on the financial policies. First of all, I agree what John said. You guys have done a great job. And you got new auditors coming in, so that'll make it fun too. But on the financial policies in the fund balance area, we had where if you exceed the 25%, that some of that money would go to PSPRS. Are you going to kind of change that too, or are you just going to leave it until we make the next change?
Commissioner Mason, Chair, Vice Chair, I think my intent right now is to leave it as is. And to see where we end up this current fiscal year. Of course, when you close out, you reconcile all your payables, your receivables, that has impacts to your revenues and your expenditures. We just want to make sure that we're clean there. We don't anticipate, again, we're going to be well in excess of our 25% at the end of this fiscal year. The issue is the following fiscal year when we make that $10 million. But even then, I don't anticipate that $10 million payment to PSPRS. I don't anticipate any challenges there whatsoever. Our forecasts tell us that we're going to easily exceed our 25% threshold even after that $10 million reserve payment to PSPRS. So,
thank you.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, David. And with that, let's go ahead and move on to the regular session agenda, if we could. And I'm going to ask Allison if you'd be kind enough to read item number one for the commission.
Agenda item one, review and approval of the May 17, 2021 regular session meeting minutes.
Okay. Commissioners, are there any comments or questions regarding the draft minutes from our last meeting of May 17th? Hearing, I have a and a second.
Second.
All right. Vice Chairman Salverson seconded. I'm sorry, made the motion. And Commissioner Mason made the second. All right. With that, all those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. None opposed. And the minutes are approved. Let's move on to item number two of the agenda. Allison, please.
Agenda item two, presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2020-2021 financial update through April 2021.
Thank you, Allison. At this point, I'm going to make a leap of faith and suggest that this will probably go over to Ms. Gomez for her presentation as the presenter, as has been historically the case. And so with that, I'm happy to turn the floor over to Wendy.
We are going to have our senior budget analyst, Michael Dykeman, present that tonight.
I just knew you guys would do something.
We're changing it up on you.
Okay. I had to set myself up.
Sorry, just had to share my screen here really quick. Sorry about that. 1 second here. Good afternoon, commissioners. Here before you this afternoon is not Ms. Gomez, but as Michael Dykeman to present a financial update for the town through April of 2021. As always, this covers the general fund, the highway fund, and the community center fund. Starting off with the general fund, this first chart shows general fund revenues by major category through April. For almost all areas, revenues are outpacing our initial budget projections. Starting with local sales tax collections, our largest area there, you can see that through April, the town has collected over $17.5 million in local sales taxes, which is over 97% of budget already. And as you can imagine, we are anticipating this area to come in over budget by almost 15%, actually, or about $2.9 million. The main driver for this one is going to be continued strong retail and remote collections, in addition to strong construction-related sales taxes as well. Just with the amount of development and construction going on, kind of coupled with the increase in materials lately, it's been kind of a nice 1-2 punch factor for construction sales taxes. And really, aside from some softening of restaurant and bar collections, which have now actually mostly recovered, and then some hotel-related taxes, which, again, are showing signs of recovery, the town's local sales tax base has really been performing much better than anticipated this past fiscal year. State shared revenues, this is the town's second largest revenue category, and this is kind of comprised of state shared income taxes, state shared sales taxes, and vehicle license taxes. As you can see, again, this revenue category is trending above budget, and it's expected to come in about 7% or about $917,000 over budget by the end of the fiscal year. The main drivers for this are going to be with VLT revenues and then state shared sales taxes. Similar to Oro Valley local taxes, the state also went fairly conservative with their projections and collections, and their collections have come in higher than they thought. So because the state has been collecting more, they're also able to distribute more to cities and towns. Moving down to charges for services, a large portion of this revenue category is really made up of parks and rec programming and then transit fare box revenues. While we are starting now to see some recovery in this category, we do anticipate ending the year under budget by about $265,000 or 12%. And that's really just due to COVID-19 impacts that were felt earlier in the year. Revenues associated with licenses and permits, these are actually doing much better than originally anticipated. These revenues are already $1.2 million over budget and are anticipated to end the year about $1.6 million over budget. A large chunk of these are associated with SFR permits. So just for reference, through April, the town has issued 385 single-family resident permits. And we're on pace to be at or near that 500 mark by June 30th. And then just as a note for like last April, we had issued 232 permits. So we're doing, you know, a lot better than last year. So really not only is the housing market doing exceptionally well, and I'll be the first to admit that I thought, you know, a global pandemic would put a damper on the housing market, not accelerate it. So like many others, we kind of missed the mark on this one here. But grant revenues, we did break this one out into its own category separated from the all other, just because for the next year or two, this is probably going to be a pretty sizable area. The bulk of this grant revenue is going to be tied to the AZ Cares funding allotment that the town received earlier in the fiscal year. And then you can see that year-end estimate there of $11.4 million. And Dave alluded to this earlier. That assumes we receive about half of our first allotment of the ARPA, or American Rescue Plan Act, by June 30th. And then the remaining, the all other there, that's kind of a smorgasbord of smaller revenues, such as, you know, transfers, interest income, some intergovernmental revenues related to their transit program, auction proceeds, things like that. In total, through April, the general fund is currently sitting about 95% of budget. And when we factor in that additional, you know, $5.5 million or so in ARPA funding, we expect to get, we anticipate the fund ending the year about $10.3 million or 23.8% over budget at about $53.7 million in revenue. Jumping over on the expenditure side for the general fund, we can see here most categories are at or below expectations through April. Personnel costs for the general fund are currently at about 77%. And if we were to do just kind of a straight trend line projection, we should be around 83%. The main driver for this is going to be primarily salary savings. You know, we budget every position to be filled for the full year, and sometimes that always doesn't work out. Additionally, at the start of the fiscal year, the town implemented a partial hiring freeze due to the uncertainty of the pandemic, and those efforts also resulted in some salary savings. Operations and maintenance, these costs are also lagging, but they are expected to accelerate in these last few months, become closer to that budget amount. The town held off on some large projects like facilities maintenance and things like that until we were confident, you know, we had the revenues to support them. As such, since early spring, the town's really been putting its foot down to try and knock these out as quick as possible. The renovation to the Chambers project is a great example of this one. Capital outlay, it's a similar story to O&M. The town initially kind of held back, but are now going full steam ahead. And items in this capital line here are kind of, you know, equipment purchases, technology updates, things of that nature. Transfers out, this is going to be the town's transfers to the town's debt service fund and the capital fund. These are on a schedule and are on budget for the year. In total, we anticipate the general fund at about $42.4 million to end the fiscal year at, which is about $2.2 million below the adopted budget of $44.6 million. And this is really through a combination of some salary savings between personnel and O&M and a bit in capital as well. Here's a chart for the general fund through April. As you can see, revenues doing much better than last year. Even if we backed out the $5.3 million of CARES funding the town received, we're still above where we were last April. That's kind of showing how strong our sales tax collections have been. Expenditures are also slightly higher than this time last year, but really that's to be expected since we did have several large one-time projects and programs associated with that stimulus money. Currently through April, the general fund has a surplus of about $7.8 million. Thanks to, in part, to additional federal dollars we're going to receive in here in the next few weeks, the general fund is projected to end the year with a surplus of about $11.3 million. This number seems like a lot, and it is. However, if you do recall, in the next year budget, we are planning to draw down over $14 million in fund balance through a combination of the PSPRS payment and other one-time projects and programs. So when you see a fund balance in excess of 72% of expenditures, that's certainly not the new norm. Moving over to the highway fund, you can see here the largest revenue as the state shared revenues or the HERF gas taxes. These are currently trending slightly above budget at about $3 million or 87%. and are anticipated to come in over budget by about $121,000. And really, this is due to economic conditions that, they weren't nearly as impacted by COVID as ADOT or the town thought they would be initially. Also worth noting on this slide really quick too is the state's grants, which aren't showing anything. These were related to personnel reimbursements associated with the La Cholla widening project. As this project is now complete, there's no reimbursements to submit for. So on the expenditure side of things, personnel costs have also been reduced accordingly. In total, the highway fund is expected to end the fiscal year just a tick below budget at $3.6 million. And that's attributable just to that, the reimbursements from the state grants. Expenditures for the highway fund, these are going to be below budget in all areas through April. As just mentioned, personnel costs are below budget and anticipated to end the year below budget due to those savings from the La Cholla project. Operations and maintenance, this is currently also below budget, but similar to the general fund, is ramping up and should end the year closer to that budget amount of $643,000. Capital outlay, this includes our pavement preservation program, and so not all the costs are captured in this on through April yet, but we are still assuming about $300,000 in project carryover for the Lambert Lane overlay project. So that project's, it's in the current year budget, but due to timing, the majority of it's going to be done later in the summer at the start of the next fiscal year. So, and in total, the highway fund's estimated end of the year about 14% below budget, or $533,000. And that's due to a combination of some personnel savings and then that rollover of that Lambert Lane project into next year. Here's the standard chart for the highway fund. As you can see, revenues through April are pretty similar from the last year. The reason they're just a touch lower is last year actually there were some reimbursements from the RTA and stuff like that. Expenditures are also about the same through April as compared to last fiscal year. The largest single expense in here being the pavement preservation program. And then currently through April, the highway fund has a surplus of about $520,000. And we expect the year-end surplus to be a little over $300,000. If this holds true, that'll give us an ending fund balance of about $1.1 million. And again, just to note, we do anticipate utilizing about $400,000 of fund balance in next year's budget to fund some capital projects and the carryover. Transitioning over to the Community Center Fund, we can see revenues through April here, overall trending as expected, doing pretty well. Contracted golf revenues are looking great through April at about 96% of budget already, or $3.4 million. I'm not an expert on golf, but when it's pushing 115 degrees outside, I would imagine revenues will probably start to slow down a little bit. But with that said, golf revenues overall have been very strong this fiscal year, and we're preliminarily expecting them to end about 10% over budget or $350,000. And then just comparing April numbers to April of last year, golf revenues are up about $600,000. So all in all, great news there. On the town operating revenue side, it's a slightly different story. Kind of due to challenges and closures earlier in the fiscal year, these revenues are below budget and are anticipated to end the year below budget. With that said, though, we are starting to see increased patronage and revenue collections at the community center again. So right now, we do anticipate revenues to exceed $500,000 by June 30th. And then the bulk of other revenues, that's going to be related to our half-cent sales tax. Similar to the general fund, local sales taxes here are doing great. We've budgeted about 2.4 million and a half cent sales taxes, and we're projecting to collect about 2.9 by the end of the fiscal year. And the other large piece of revenue in here is going to be the $125,000 HOA contribution, which the town officially received. And then in total, Community Center Fund is estimated end of the fiscal year about $331,000 or 4.5% above the budget of $7.1 million. And that's, really in part to the strong golf revenues and local sales tax collections. Taking a look at expenditures for the Community Center Fund, all areas here are at or below budgeted levels through April. Contracted or golf operating revenues are as expected through April here. We anticipate them to end just a smidge below budget of about $4.4 million or $50,000 below budget. On town operating revenues, these are also below budget and forecasted to end the year below budget too. And again, this is related to those previous closures and cancellations caused by the pandemic. You can see here that capital outlay is quite a bit below budget. The bulk of this 1.1 million here is going to be for the Gulf Coast irrigation project. And as construction is not going to be taking place this summer, there's going to be significant savings in this category. The actual amounts and the year-end estimate amounts you see here, these are kind of related to some minor capital, like at the community center, drinking fountains and things like that, as well as some initial design work done on the irrigation project. And then lastly, transfers out. Again, similar to the general fund, these are on a schedule. These are for debt service payments and then the $120,000 repayment to the general fund. And this category should end right on budget. In total, the community center fund is estimated to end the fiscal year about $1.2 million, or almost 18% below budget. And that's going to be attributable to the pushing out of the golf course irrigation project. Here's the chart for the community center fund. As you can see, revenues through April are higher than amounts from last April. This is going to be attributable to that golf revenue and then local sales tax collections. Expenditures are below where they were last April, about $4.5 million. And this is going to be attributable to costs on both the golf revenue side and the community center side of operations just being reduced, as well as some capital outlay too. Currently, through April, the community center has a surplus of about $1.8 million. And we anticipate that to remain fairly steady through the end of the fiscal year. If that remains true, the fund would end the fiscal year with a fund balance of roughly $2.6 million. With that, that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, Michael, thank you for that report and presentation. I think the next step will be you and Wendy getting together and providing a team report. We'll have to look forward to that in a couple of months. But in the meantime, what I'd like to do is open up the floor to the commissioners, and if you have any questions or anything, please bring them forward at this time.
I just have one question. In the sales tax, are the out-of-state taxes, the interstate sales tax numbers, are they shown separate in your report so that you could track them separately if you wanted to?
Commissioner Mason, great question. So I'll do my best to answer, and Wendy can certainly jump in as well too. We are able to differentiate now between standard like brick and mortar retail and then an online collection if the sale was made online through Amazon or something like that. So we can kind of track those and seeing how they're doing. And I don't know if the other piece is more of like a use tax, but I'm pretty sure the town doesn't actually have a use tax currently.
So what percent of your total sales tax collections would the internet sales represent?
Commissioner, great question. Let me jump in and take a look really quick because I don't have it right off the top of my fingertips. Let me see here. They're fairly substantial. I believe we're anticipated to end the year north of $1 million in online collections alone, but let me double check and confirm that for you.
So it's a pretty small percentage compared to the total sales tax.
Compared to like a utilities or a retail, it is small. It's definitely not the largest tax category, but it's still a significant amount. Let's
see. Okay, but that's good. That answers the question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Other questions? Let me just ask a couple here. Really more educational. I think the report that's being given is extremely strong. Clearly, the results are coming in. Just even if you were to single out the federal grants that we've gotten, there's been a lot of strength in the reports and. Over the past few months, we've seen a real strengthening in revenues. The two areas which sort of have been continued to be challenged are, first of all, in the rapid transit or RTA, regional transit, the RTA ridership levels. And then the second would be the parks and rec, programs, which you've noted both of them in your report. And I'm just wondering how it's proceeding ahead from the perspective of where we stand today. With everything else starting to come together, we're getting a lot of strength in different industries. I think you see that across all industries and all businesses. I noted that even the bed tax has shown a significant increase. They seem to be bouncing back. And when I was out traveling this past week, it looked like the old days and before the pandemic. So I'm just wondering how those two particular programs are beginning to evolve. Are they showing strength, and are they still having issues?
Yeah, Commissioner Lashford, that's a great question. They are still, while they are recovering, which is always good to see, they're definitely not at their pre-pandemic levels for sure. For the upcoming fiscal year, revenue is still slightly depressed compared to where they were, say, in FY19 or FY20. But they are still showing signs of recovery.
They are trending with a strengthening in their business revenues and the ridership and the programs.
Correct. Yes. For actual ridership numbers, I'm not too sure off the top of my head what those are looking like. I know they're starting to bounce back a little bit, but they're a far cry from where they were, say, at the start of calendar year 2020.
Well, that's good to hear. The next question, let's turn to golf for a minute. I know you don't golf that much, but let me just ask you a couple of questions about that. I noted that the pro shop has really increased their revenues. And I was wondering what had happened there. I mean, it was quite significant, almost double their revenue trend. And I wonder if you know what has been going on in the pro shop and what our contractor has been doing to grow those particular revenues. I'm not sure I know what all of the revenues are that they're doing over in the pro shop, but generally don't know if it's anything particular, if there's any initiative that they're doing or a program that they've started.
Chair Latchford, if I may, we'd probably need to defer to our general manager over there, Bernie Eaton, to answer that type of detailed questions. We wouldn't have those particulars in front of us this evening, but we can certainly get you that information.
Okay, that'd be great. And then I noticed the food and beverage really jumped up. Did the restaurant completely open? So it is now fully open and operational.
Yes, it is, Chair Letchford.
Okay, well, they're doing some good business over there, and the margins seem to be pretty comparable to industry standards. So it looks like they're doing well. And quick question about that is, Indigo is now part of Troon. Do I understand that to be the case? Okay. Well, Indigo is a very good division for Troon to have, so you're doing a very good job. Any other questions from commissioners before we move on? I do have to ask my perennial question, which is the fact that here we are on June 15th, looking at projections from April 30th, and I was just wondering how everyone there feels about the projections. Do they still look like they're going to happen? There's no disruptions on the horizon. What we're looking at least what we're going to get, and maybe better. Melanie's shaking her head like, yes.
Yes, Chair Latchford, I would
good statement. I'll put my name to it. Okay. All right. Well, just curious. Just want to make sure that we're here. It's just about done. So, and what a year it was. I join my fellow commissioners here and really give you guys a round of applause for everything that you've done so far this year. You've been busy and productive, and really, this is a fine result for the year. So I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if that's, if we have no more questions from commissioners, I'm going to move on at this point to item number 3. And that would be Allison, if you would read item number 3 for us.
Agenda item 3, presentation and possible discussion of the 5-year financial forecast through fiscal year 2026-2027.
All right. Thank you, Allison. And to continue my streak, I'm going to assume that Mr. Dykeman, Michael, you will give the presentation.
Chair Latchford, I will actually be doing the 5-year forecast presentation.
I'm not going to bet against you guys, I swear.
We wanted to keep things exciting as much as we could. You know, finance isn't always that exciting, so we do what we can.
Okay. All right.
So bear with me. I'm just going to share my screen here real quick. So what I've brought up, Chair Letchford and Commission members, is the 5-year financial forecast that we presented to Council back with the tentative budget. So with the 5-year financial forecast, which we update every year, we always present the General Fund, Highway Fund, and Community Center Fund. So that's what we'll be presenting tonight. Our 5-year forecast is a snapshot based on current known information to us. So, for example, we don't assume any additional annexations, any pending legislation that may be floating around there that's not pulled in, as well as any, you know, large possible commercial development. Aside from just some conservative levels of development, we don't factor in anything large or uncertain at this point. The forecast serves as a planning document for future budgets. So we look back at it, we refer to it during the year, and it should be viewed as interconnected with our general and strategic plans. We update it annually as part of the budget process. Some of the sources that we rely on are the University of Arizona, their Eller College Economic and Business Research Center. They provide a wealth of information regarding forecasts for both the state and the local Tucson metro area. The Arizona Department of Revenue for their state shared revenue forecasts and just overall state economic performance. The Joint Legislative Budget Committee with the state. We rely on the Arizona Department of Transportation for HERF projections. And then the knowledge, expertise and judgment by town staff and just looking at trends, historical data, and making professional estimates. We'll start with the general fund, some of the assumptions there. We do assume continued recovery from COVID with no further downturns. We have continued to be a little bit conservative on some of the revenue sources that were hit hardest, such as the bed taxes and restaurant and bar. But after or by fiscal year 2022-23, we do have full recovery assumed in those sources. We expect to see continued improvement in local sales tax. Maybe a little bit of reduction in online sales collections as folks shift back to traditional retail, the visiting the brick and mortar locations. Our state shared revenues, they will see a one-time increase in fiscal year 22-23. That's really just a timing difference. If you recall, due to COVID last year, the due dates for income taxes were actually shipped back. And so that's going to cause just a little bit of a lag. Probably look a little bit unusual with our revenues, but it's really just a timing difference there. Construction sales tax and other development related revenues, we do expect those to be above average trending for the next couple of years, and then reductions thereafter. We have about between 250 and 275 single family residential permits forecasted, and then declines thereafter. You may recall we've factored in approaching build out in the outer years of the forecast, which we've included for some time. I will mention that approach has been slower than expected, But we do need to continue to factor that in those outer years. We don't factor in, as I've mentioned earlier, any specific revenues from permitting and the construction sales tax associated with that, aside from some conservative levels of ongoing activity. And then finally, we don't assume any additional aid, nothing beyond CARES and the American Rescue Plan due to COVID-19. Here's the table for the general fund. You can see the revenue sources there. Taxes continue to perform well throughout the forecast. You can see some of that timing difference that I've mentioned with the state shared revenues and the income taxes. Charges for services, we do expect some good recovery in the next couple of years. That was, as Michael had mentioned, that's an area that was hit by COVID, but we've had some conservative growth recovery in the near term and then conservative growth thereafter. The licenses and permits largely reflect the projected single-family residential activity that we're forecasting. And I'll add as a side that we get with Community and Economic Development Department to form some of those projections for the forecast. The intergovernmental revenues, those are the transit RTA reimbursements that are primarily in there. So we do assume recovery going into next fiscal year. I will add to, I think it was Chair Latcher's question about the RTA reimbursements. We are starting to see some pretty good improvement just in the last couple of months with those collections. So I'm included on the billing notifications that are sent from our Public Works Department, and I can already see those coming back. So that's good to know. It's good to see. With the grants, that is primarily the CARES and the American Rescue Plan funding. You can see that we have half of the American Rescue Plan and the CARES funding, which is in fiscal year 2021 estimates, and then the other half, the second half of the ARP dollars in fiscal year 21-22. Following that, it's just regular recurring, mainly overtime grants for the police departments that are included in the forecast. Miscellaneous revenues, the bulk of that is in lieu bed tax income that we collect. Fines, we don't really see a whole lot of growth there, and so that's really just reflective of expected population growth. The interest income, we wanted to go conservative there just due to the fact that we are planning on drawing down the fund balance in the general fund, and that's going to obviously impact the percentage allocation that the general fund gets from overall interest income. And then just market volatility as well, and wanting to be conservative on that front. And then finally, with the transfers in, the fiscal year 2021 estimate is the what will be the final transfer from the Community Center Fund. With the changeup that Council adopted with our absent sales tax revenues, that was decided by the town manager that really there's no purpose to continuing that transfer, so that's going to be discontinued after this fiscal year. On the expenditure side, some of the assumptions for the general fund, we do include merits and police step increases, 2.5% to 3% employee merits, and then the police steps each year for each year of the forecast. We include some modest capacity for new FTEs, that stands for full-time equivalent employees, so not a huge amount, but obviously we want to be reasonable in assuming that it's likely we could have some additional personnel needs, and so some capacity for that has been included. We also include continued capacity for normal increases that we see in some of our benefit costs, such as healthcare. Obviously, with the merits and steps associated with PSPRS and ASRS pension, workers' compensation, and that sort of thing. We assume that we keep our PSPRS payments flat at the current fiscal year rate of about 42% throughout the forecast. We do assume some moderate inflation on the O&M side of things. And again, as I've mentioned earlier, the forecast is based on current known information, including current service levels. So there is not any assumed, ongoing new costs due to new facilities and that sort of thing. The transfers to debt service do include the pension obligation bonds in each year of the forecast at $1.3 million. Our transfers to CIP are assumed per our financial policy at 5% of sales tax collections. the transfer in fiscal year 22-23, which will become more transparent when I get to the highway fund. It does include the second half of the American Rescue Plan funding for capital projects. And you'll see that based on some fairly sizable needs that we'll have in the highway fund for capital, we do assume that a portion of that would be directed to the highway fund in that fiscal year. And finally, our forecast preserves council's 25% fund balance reserve policy. Here's a table for the general fund expenditures. You can see personnel ties to the assumptions that I touched on the previous slide. O&M, that does look a little wonky there, but fiscal year 21-22 is the primarily the $10 million payment to PSKRS. So that is what's largely contributing to the boost there, but also some expected O&M tied to some of our ARP dollars, our American Rescue Plan dollars. And then thereafter, you see some of that one-time stuff drop off, and then moderate inflation thereafter. On the capital side, some of the needs there in the capital fund, Michael had touched on some of those with his presentation. It's primarily some of our technology needs, facility needs, that sort of thing. The transfers out, that includes, as I've mentioned, the $1.3 million to PSPRS debt service, other ongoing debt service that we already had on the books, our 5% of our sales tax, and then any ARP dollars that would be dedicated to the capital projects in the forecast. And then finally, you can see our expected surplus or deficit in the fund. As I've mentioned earlier, the forecast, we do preserve council's 25% reserve policy throughout each year of the forecast. Here's a chart for the general fund. And you can see the jump in fiscal year 21-22 for the expenditures, the planned reduction in fund balance for that one-time PSPRS payment, the ARP dollars and that sort of thing. But level fund balance thereafter, at about the $10 to $15 million range. We'll move on to the highway fund. The forecast assumes moderate growth in gas tax revenues. Those, as I mentioned earlier, come from the Arizona Department of Transportation. Those estimates are pretty conservative in the forecast for each year. The other revenue sources that we have in the highway fund just assume modest and incremental growth throughout the forecast. And then as I touched on with the general fund, we do assume a transfer in fiscal year 22-23 to meet some sizable capital needs in that fund. Here's the table for the highway fund. You can see pulling in those assumptions that I touched on there, conservative growth there in our HERF revenues throughout the forecast. And then you can see the other revenue sources in there are pretty small, the licenses and permits or road permits. But then you can see the transfer in for capital needs in fiscal year 22-23. On the expenditure side of things for the highway fund, the increases for personnel and O&M reflect the same assumptions as in the general fund. So merit increases, same benefit increases and that sort of thing, as well as some moderate inflation. We do preserve our payment preservation program. The funding ranges from 1.6 to 1.9 million per year. And then our capital outlay forecast reflects our 10-year CIP schedule. And again, just as a reminder, that 10-year schedule should be considered a fluid document. We sometimes have some pretty significant changes each year of the budget. But right now that does tie to the 10-year schedule that was included with the tentative budget adoption. Here's the table for the highway fund expenditures, and you can see the personnel and O&M pulling in some of those assumptions there that I touched on. The capital, you can see the sizable jump there, $3.6 million forecasted for fiscal year 22-23. So those are going to be offset with some support from the American Rescue Plan dollars. And then you can finally see the surplus or deficit that's forecasted in the fund. And then the fund balance remaining steady, anywhere from about $600,000 to just under $2 million each year, the forecast. Here's the chart for the highway fund. The jump there in the transfer in from the general fund to fund some of those capital needs that I mentioned in 22-23, but steady thereafter and maintaining that fund balance in the forecast. Finally, moving on to the community center fund, the revenues, the projections largely reflect those that were presented to council earlier in the spring when push discussions were underway. So those have been kept similar to those figures. The local sales tax, we assume some of the same growth patterns in the general fund. Obviously, we're not going to have the construction sales tax or the utility sales tax in here or the bed tax, but that strong continued growth that we're expecting in retail and online, that's all going to be factored into the forecast. We do have conservative recovery from the impacts of COVID. You know, Michael touched on, and we continue to touch on each month, those heavy impacts that we've seen over there at the facility just due to COVID when the whole facility was closed. And then just the fact that after reopening, we still struggled to get some of those members in the door. So we've got conservative recovery in next fiscal year and then full recovery thereafter. And just as a reminder, the contracted revenue forecasts do include activity for the push nine-hole course. Here's the table for the community center fund, the revenues. You can see the healthy growth there in taxes. Charges for services is going to be both the contractor side of things as well as the town. And then the miscellaneous revenues are primarily the HOA contributions in the fund. On the expenditures, some of the assumptions there, same with the revenues. Those assumptions tie to the figures that were presented to council earlier in the spring. With our personnel and O&M, we also assume, similar to the other funds, merits, the O&M includes moderate inflation, that sort of thing. As I'd mentioned on the previous slide, we do include activity for the push course. The capital outlay forecast for the fund reflects the 10-year schedule, and same with the highway fund, that should be considered subject to change. The transfers do include now the estimated debt service for the park bonds, so that's included in the forecast. And then finally, our ending fund balance in the fund for the community center is tied to the current CIP schedule and timing. We should note that the community center improvements that we have at, I think it's about $2 million each year for a couple of years there in the outer years of the forecast, should note that we do not have a specific funding source identified for those needs yet, but because they were included in the 10-year schedule that's been adopted by council, we did want to include those in the forecast. So here's a table for the expenditures, personnel, and O&M, as I've mentioned, tied to the assumptions in the previous slide. You can see the capital that I mentioned, the large jump there in fiscal year 24-25 and 25-26 due to improvements that are pegged there. The transfers out, the bulk of that now is expected debt service for the parks bonds that council approved. And then finally, you can see the expected surplus or deficit in the fund. We do show the fund balance moving into the negative category towards the outer years of the forecast until we identify a funding source for those capital needs. And here's the chart that just reflects those assumptions. And you can see the fund balance is maintained pretty healthily for the next couple years. But then dropping thereafter due to those high capital needs. That is my last slide, and we'd be happy to take any questions you may have.
Let me see if any of the commissioners have questions. Commissioner Beasley?
Wendy, where is the irrigation program in your expenditures?
Commissioner Beasley, the golf irrigation project has actually been moved to the capital fund. We will likely be trying to tap into possibly some American Rescue Plan dollars for that project.
Okay, so it's not in the community center fund, it's in the general fund.
It's in the capital fund, actually.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's see, I think Vice Chairman Salverson's next, and then it'll be Mike.
Wendy, is the Westward Look purchase factored into these numbers?
Yes, Vice Chair Salverson, the Westward Look, now that the annexation's fully effective, they're part of the town, all of those numbers are included, both the revenues and the associated expenditures.
Okay, and then my next question has to do with the PSPRS and the O&M, how it bumps up and goes back down. I'm wondering if it makes sense, or maybe it doesn't make sense to either add a line or just a comment or something. This looks wonky.
It does, and I acknowledge that. We, as you may recall, we've been making $500,000 payments towards our unfunded liability. That is actually in an O&M a line or line item called payments to outside agencies. And so the $10 million was, again, just budgeted in there as well. I do acknowledge that it does look funny, but yeah. Just a one-time blip.
Okay. It is what it is.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mike, do you have a question?
Yeah. Well, just, it says in your assumptions, in the general fund forecast revenue assumptions, it says no annexations assumed. So I take it that's, you do have Westward Look annexation in these numbers?
Chair Mason, the Westward Look is included because that's been officially annexed. But any... Okay. Any possible annexations are not included in the forecast.
Sure. Okay. And my next question is more of a comment, I guess, is looking at the general fund's fund balance as you go out, you get down to a point where you're at just about what's in your contingency fund, the $10 million. Mm-hmm. So conceivably, your unassigned balance could be either very low or even possibly negative. So I was wondering, do you guys have any kind of a goal that you'd like to see your unassigned balance in the general fund get to?
Dave, would you like to talk
about that? Yeah, I'll take that. Commissioner Mason, Chair, Vice Chair, members of the commission. So we don't really have a goal. I mean, that's something that we could look at in terms of future policy amendments. You know, the assigned fund balance that we have is really that 25% council policy. And so, you know, I think that we kind of cordon off and set it aside as kind of that, you know, for lack of a better term, a rainy day fund. And then the unassigned obviously would be anything in additional to that. So that's something that we certainly could take a look at as part of policy moving forward. I would like to see, before we take a look at that, how we kind of progress out of this. Obviously, we got some pretty large, you know, or at least one large payment out of our reserves at $10 million. We still think, again, we're going to be in excess of the 25%. We don't anticipate that we're going to dip below that. The five-year forecast kind of makes, you know, shows that and shows the numbers and demonstrates that. But with that said, it's a forecast, and we need to kind of see where things move, progress moving forward. There are some things that we've been kind of tracking internally lately, even at the statewide level, in terms of a flat tax proposal that could have a pretty significant impact to our state shared revenues. And so we don't think that necessarily has traction at this point, but for a while it appeared that it might. So we want to make sure that we still proceed cautiously, conservatively, and try to build that unassigned fund balance moving forward. And then if we want to set targets, then it might make sense to do so at that point in time. But there's just so much. Obviously, with this current year with COVID, looking forward to next year with the grant revenues and the PSPRS, there's so much volatility that we're seeing and still some unknowns out there that we'd kind of like to kind of get those in the rearview mirror before we take a look at that.
So is your rainy day fund, the $10 million, is it staying in committed, or are you moving it to assigned?
I think it's staying in committed, I believe. Let me see.
That's how, where it is now.
I think you're correct. I apologize. I misspoke on that. It's staying in committed. Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, and that's a council policy issue, obviously. So, you know, I think if we're going to take a look at that moving forward, we wouldn't necessarily try to look at the unassigned and target that. We would probably try to actually increase the percentage of the committed. That's something we might
do. I think having kind of a nice unassigned balance or a reasonable one is just gives you that much more flexibility.
So, right.
Yeah. All right. I mean, thank you.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's reserve that sits in the general fund, and it is, you know, even though it's committed, it's money that we could tap into if we needed to, and obviously we would clear that with council and whatnot. But it is, you know, that is there's not really a, you know, even though we say it's committed, there's not really a specific project or plan for utilization of those monies. That is. Literally just the rainy day fund, the 25% policy that we have in place. So.
Okay, thanks.
Let's see, any other questions from commissioners? Let's see if any raised hands. Think about that for a second. Let me ask more of a curious question. One of the reasons it's given for doing the five-year forecast is to sort of think about building up the oncoming year's budget. And do you ever go back and take a look and see how your forecasted compares to what actually occurred?
Yes, Chair Latchford, we do that every year. I am pleased to report that in general, performance is usually stronger than the forecast. Same with our budget each year. We are pretty conservative on our five-year forecast. Again, I should note that this, for example, would assume, you know, full spending by departments, full personnel costs. You know, every year we do see, a good size of savings in some of those areas. And with the expenditure side of things, we would rather underpromise and overdeliver. And so in general there, we usually see stronger performance too. The picture is usually positive when we go back and take a look at previous forecasts.
Yes, I'm very well aware of the conservative forecasting mode that you do there. But following up on Commissioner Mason's question, I got thinking, you know, really what he's asking, or no, maybe not, I don't know, anyway, but you know, when you look at the forecast and you compare it to what you actually came in with, that tells you what your real tangible resources are to be able to handle unknowns, which is, we call it contingency for the sake of books, but really what we're doing here is that by looking at that, you know, whatever's left over that didn't get expended because you didn't forecast it or because of your conservative forecasting, that's your reserve, that's your money that you've got in your back pocket to be able to head off any problems that might be unknown at this point and that might crop up. And thinking along those lines, one other question I had and got to thinking is when you do a five-year forecast like this, at least for stakeholders and management, it has to sort of ask the question, So what do I need to be worried about? And what is it that, as I look here, that I might have to be really concerned? Are there any things in this five-year forecast that is making you think, maybe individually, but maybe jointly, you know, what do I need to be worried about? What's keeping me awake at night? Because that's the reason why you do the forecast. And is there anything that we should be aware of as a commission that concerns you from what you're seeing out of the five-year forecast? It's okay to say no, that's fine. But
Dave, if you're comfortable, I'll tackle that question, and then you can chime in if need be. I know some of the areas that I keep in mind as I'm preparing the forecast is just the fact that, and this is pretty similar to all Arizona municipalities, we rely pretty heavily on economically sensitive revenue sources. So our local sales tax and state shared revenues, while those perform well for the town overall, that is something to keep in mind that, you know, when we have these serious disruptions or, you know, recessions and that kind of thing, we don't really have a whole lot to fall back on if we were to see some sizable drops in those categories. And then another thing, as I mentioned during the presentation, is, you know, approaching build out for the town. I think we're sitting at about 85%. And, you know, while I'd mentioned that we are approaching that slower than expected, it's still something that we need to keep in mind and, you know, continue to pursue opportunities for economic development. I know, you know, annexation discussions are always continuing. Those would probably be the two areas that I would throw out in regards to that comment, but Dave can chime in if he has anything further to add.
Yeah, thank you, Wendy, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. I think, you know, the couple things that I would add is we always want to keep kind of our thumb on personnel costs because we are a service-based organization. We provide services to the community, so usually personnel costs are kind of the driving costs. I mean, obviously we have some materials and services and other types of operational costs that we need to pay for, but usually personnel is one of those items that that you kind of need to be careful of in terms of bringing on new personnel, wage increases, benefit costs, retirement, et cetera. So just that's one of the items that that we just want to make sure that we're keenly tracking and aware of, because that can have an adverse impact on us just on an operational year to year. Those are the ongoing costs that we talk about year by year that that we just want to make sure that we've got a tight rein on that. And I guess in addition to that, looking to the revenue side is just the political atmosphere that we're in, et cetera. I mean, so I just mentioned that flat tax issue. That was something that could have potentially, we were getting estimates from the league, could have potentially had a $2.3 million per year impact to our state shared revenues, a negative impact. So those types of, you know, issues, I mean, $2.3 million is obviously nothing to sneeze at. That's real money to the town and its operating budget. And so we just, you know, we want to be aware of what's going on at the legislative level and how those, those proposals and bills as they track through, what type of support they have, what type of potential impact do they have on the town, and so we just, you know, those are kind of the two things I would add in addition to what Wendy said.
Yes, Kathy.
Kind of to add on to what Wendy was saying about the build out, that's one of the things I was thinking of was, are we at a point now where we're shifting from sort of a growth, I don't know, there's probably a technical term for this, but a growth municipality into more like a stabilized, city, town? And is there something we should be looking at in terms of, you know, controlling costs in certain areas or certain categories, because you don't have those extra building revenues that we've had coming in for all these years? And then my second kind of thought on that was, if you went backwards and you took the big categories and you went, you know, 10 years history and looked at that, are those particular categories growing at a certain rate and we're now going to be flatlining them, or, you know, only growing them for, you know, a little bit of inflation, kind of something like that, in terms of sort of using that history as an analytic tool and then looking at where we're going forward, you know, right? You can't predict going like this forever, right? Just sort of top line thoughts, right? Just to validate where are we. And then you've also got things like infrastructure, you know, your sprinklers, that kind of stuff that, you know, you got to plan all that. You got the obsolescence coming in. You got to you got to sort of look out in the future. Okay, we're going to do the sprinklers this year. You know, maybe we do the, you know, community center. Obviously, you're doing work on your town buildings and so forth. You know, that kind of just top level views on those things.
Yeah, Vice Chair, Chairman, if I may, members of the commission, I agree with all of that. You know, I think what that really alludes to and what we've seen recently, this is another item that I didn't really bring up, but I think we need to start thinking about is inflation. We are seeing some strong inflationary pressure in our nation over the last 4, 5, 6 months. And especially recently, the last 2 or 3 months. So that is something that we need to be aware of as well. And that really impacts capital projects and how much we can do. You know, street overlays and pavement preservation and even parks related projects. And of course, we've seen it in the Gulf irrigation on the Gulf irrigation side, where that project has kind of been placed on hold because it became, when we got the estimate in, it was cost prohibitive. So we're hoping that, you know, at some point we see a little bit of stabilization there, you know, and even some receding of the inflation of, you know, that inflation that hopefully, you know, some of this is supply and demand, some of it's related to other items, but we see some receding there moving forward to where we're not paying so much for some of these major capital items and operational items as well.
Now, having read the 5-year forecast, one can see in a lot of your supporting notes that you're really taking a look at some of those challenges. You know they're out there. I mean, and you are keeping your eye on the ball. When I was going through and reading that, it really struck me that, you know, you've got a lot of balls in the air. And how many of those can you turn into opportunities? I mean, I think that's kind of the thing that you have to take a look at. I'm not saying you three, but, you know, the town in general. And you've got to look at it from both sides. So obviously, the risks that you have coming in have to be managed and monitored and make sure, but at the same time, the ability to turn those into opportunities or other opportunities. I know that the town has an annexation strategy, and that perhaps could really use a lot of review and work on it to be able to turn it into an opportunity if it's not there already. I don't know. I'm not suggesting anything that is an improvement, but when we look at a 5-year forecast, I was struck by, geez, you know, when you look at all of the things they've got to be challenged with, and you mentioned inflation. I saw that 2 or 3 times in the notes to support this. So you're thinking about it, but then what are we doing about opportunities? And so that's not for tonight's agenda. Maybe we'll throw that under the agenda items for the future and just have it as a placeholder, a note to say, maybe something we want to take a look at if the town so wishes. Let's see, yes, Commissioner Mason?
I was just curious if you've had any kind of analysis that since the pandemic is almost over here, at least we can see the end of the tunnel. Do we know what the impact on Oro Valley has been from the viewpoint of small businesses being, you know, lost and not recoverable? Or,
yeah, Commissioner Mason, Chair, members of the commission, we do track new businesses, and I know that these statistics and this information is tracked in our community and economic development division. I'm not sure I'm necessarily the best person to address this question. That might, you know, we probably want to bring in Paul Melcher, our community and economic development director, to address that question specifically. He would be the person that would have the best information. He's, you know, just the closest and nexus to it, tracks it. And so excellent question. You know, I know that there has been some some fallout. I know a lot of small businesses are struggling or have, you know, some have not quite made it, certainly. Whether that's at a higher level than historical, I'm guessing that it is. I don't have any, that's just an intuitive or an assumption, I guess, on my part. I don't really have any strong data to back that up, but Paul and his team certainly would.
Okay, well, I think we've had our questions answered. I want to thank all of you for working so hard to put the five-year forecast together and for working as a team to get somebody to present it, so that's great. Thank you. Let's move on and let's see, at this point, I don't believe Council Member Mickelson is with us. Allison, can you confirm that?
Yeah, he is not here, Chair Latchford.
Okay, so we will skip that and move on to future agenda items. Any commissioner have a future agenda item they wish to bring to the table?
I was just curious, you know, the marketplace, maybe might be an informational type session to see what kind of an impact that has on our sales tax. And I think there's been some, I guess, closures or some businesses that have left. And I think I've heard that there might be plans for redeveloping that into something. And maybe that could be something in once we come back in September that if we want to just bring the kind of maybe give us a status on that and see what the impact that might be on our revenue.
Okay, yeah. We can put that down and see what you think. Jim? Commissioner Beasley?
The other pension plan, what is its status going forward? And just a general update.
Okay. Do we have any other two subject matters there we can consider? Okay. Not seeing any others coming forward, so we'll leave that. Thank you for those suggestions. All right. So before adjournment, in terms of not meeting in July and August, just refresh my memory. I believe the council is not meeting in, is it August? They don't meet?
Yeah, Chair, members of the commission, the council generally takes August off. They also will not be holding, I don't believe, so far as I understand, will not be holding a second meeting in July.
Okay. Certainly, if they needed help from us, they will let us know. So in that case, our next meeting then would be in September. And do we have a date on that? Allison, do you have that in front of you?
Let me see, Chair Latchford. First. That would be September 21st.
All right, so the next meeting that we will have will be on Tuesday, September 21st, and it will be 4 p.m. in the afternoon. So with that, nothing further for the good of the mission here. We'll ask for a motion to adjourn. Would somebody make that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Beasley, second from Commissioner Mason. With all those in favor to adjourn, please say aye.
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 And I suppose we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for your presentations. What a team. Thank you.
Thank you.